Alan Stein, welcome to CKUT Radio.
Thank you very much.
You are from Stein & Stein, and you are located in Montreal, and you are representing a woman named Janine Huard. Can you just tell us about that case and when you took it on?
Well, I took on her case in the 90s when the government came out with its assistance plan to compensate the former patients of Dr. Cameron who were treated by him between 1950 and 1965 and who were subjected to the massive electric shock treatments that he inflicted upon his former patients, as well as the psychic driving treatment that he developed in the latter part of the 50s and early 60s. And she was one of the former patients of Dr. Cameron who was treated by him between 1950 and 65. And she applied for compensation under this government compensation plan, and her application was denied. And as a result, she came to see me, and we appealed the denial by the government of her application for compensation, and unfortunately, we were not successful. She originally also was one of the nine patients, former patients of Dr. Cameron, who sued the CIA in the 90s, in the early 90s, and as a result of her action, together with the other eight former patients of Dr. Cameron, the CIA settled with each one of them for approximately $66,000 U.S., representing damages, alleged damages sustained by each one of them. And as a result, I was very much surprised that the government would deny her application for compensation under its compensation or assistance plan, because all you had to establish was that you were depatterned as a result of the treatments Dr. Cameron gave to each one of the patients, and that you were put in a childlike state. And this woman not only was subjected to massive electric shock treatments and experimental drugs, but also was subjected to the psychic driving treatment of Dr. Cameron, which he developed in the late 50s and early 60s.
Can you tell us why she originally went into the Institute?
She was suffering from postpartum depression, and that was the original reason why she went into it, and she was diagnosed, I believe, as a schizophrenic by Dr. Cameron. And she was in and out of the Allen Memorial over a period of many years. She just didn't have one period of admission and treatment.
Now, you stated before that the CIA admitted that they had done these experiments and they actually made a payment to her.
To her and to the other eight former patients of Dr. Cameron, some of whom I represented as well. Not in regard to the action against the CIA, but in regard to their application for compensation. One of the patients, it's known, was Louis Weinstein, who was also one of the patients of Dr. Cameron, who was treated by him as well as a guinea pig. And he sued the CIA and applied for compensation, and also sued the Allen Memorial, and we were able to settle. The CIA settled with him as well, and I was able to settle his Royal Victoria Hospital, and also he was compensated by the government under its assistance plan.
So when you settled with Allen Memorial, is that a direct settlement with McGill University?
A direct settlement with, well, at that time it was the Royal Victoria Hospital. I don't believe it was part of McGill University, although it was associated with McGill University. But yes, it was the Royal Victoria Hospital, because the Allen Memorial was a division of the Royal Victoria Hospital.
Is that the only settlement now from that institution?
I believe so. I think that was the only case that was... there was another case that was settled as well. I'm sorry, where I acted for one of the former patients, and we were able to settle that case as well. And he also applied for compensation under the government assistance plan, and he was compensated.
Can you tell us what is the government's response to the current lawsuit? I know that you're seeking a status of a class action lawsuit.
As well. Well, let me give you a bit of the background. The reason I took an action on behalf of Jeanine Huard against the government of Canada is because I also acted for a former patient of Dr. Cameron, Gail Kastner. And she also was a former patient of Dr. Cameron and treated by him between 1950 and 1965. And she applied for compensation under the government assistance plan. And her application as well was denied, and we appealed her the denial of her application, and I was unsuccessful again in obtaining compensation for her. So we sued the Royal Victoria Hospital and the Government of Canada in the Superior Court for over $1 million, and unfortunately the action was dismissed on that it had been prescribed. We appealed and we lost in appeal on the basis of prescription. The Court of Appeal said it's a matter of fact, and therefore it did not want to intervene in the finding of fact by the trial judge. So then we went to the federal court. We sued in the federal court saying that, well, at least she's entitled to be compensated. And we were successful in winning the action for Gail Kastner in the federal court on the basis that the government, rejecting Gail Kastner's application for compensation, misapplied the order and counsel or decree. In effect, the court held, and it was Mr. Justice Baudry, that people who were charged, the managers of this plan who were charged with the implementation of the government assistance plan, misapplied the order and counsel or decree. In effect, what they did was they said, they concluded in rejecting many of the applications that you had to be totally de-patterned, whereas the decree provided for either totally or substantially de-patterned. And in the case of Gail Kastner, the Mr. Justice Baudry said there was no question that she was at least substantially de-patterned, even though, unlike Madame Huard, she had not been subjected to psychic driving. She had only been subjected to massive electric shock treatments and experimental drugs. So as a result of that case, I felt that there was a possibility that Madame Huard could sue and also be certified, sue in the federal court and also be certified to represent, I believe, over 200 other former patients of Dr. Cameron whose applications had been denied. So that's the circumstances which gave rise to the action against the federal government on behalf of Madame Jeanine Huard. Now, of course, the response of the government was that, well, you're much too late. It's over 12 years since her application was denied, and therefore you don't have a recourse anymore on behalf of Madame Huard. And I want to say that we had a lengthy hearing before the Honorable Mr. Justice Luc Martineau, and Judge Martineau, in a, I believe, 42-page judgment, concluded that we were within the legal delay, that delay, and that's what he did. He granted an extension of the delay, saying that Madame Huard's claim is certainly warrants a hearing by the court. It's an arguable claim, and therefore he extended the delay. And he even actually went indirectly into the merits of the case, and he certainly will, in his judgment, gave the impression that if he heard the merits of the case, and unfortunately he won't hear the merits of the case, that he would grant her application for judicial review and order the government to compensate her. The government has appealed that judgment, and we're presently before the Federal Court of Appeal. And the government is taking the position, well, this sets a very dangerous precedent, because now anyone can come back to the federal court and ask for a judicial review, even if it's beyond the 30 days, based upon the judgment rendered by Mr. Justice Martineau. I don't agree with that position. Madame Huard's case is a very exceptional case, and Judge Martineau said that in his judgment. It's a very exceptional case, and that's why he's extending the delay. In the meantime, we are presently negotiating with the government to settle, and there's a possibility that if we do settle, that they will review all the other applications that were denied, which will certainly be a wonderful result as a result of the proceedings instituted by Madame Huard.
Because many of the subjects were, I know that there was memory loss, a lot of memory loss involved, and
well,
so
that's why the order in council or the government which provided for the government assistance plan said that you had to be in depatterned either totally or substantially and put in a childlike state. And in effect, what they meant is that you had to sustain a serious and severe memory loss.
No,
and that's what happened to, I'd say, practically every one of the patients who were treated as guinea pigs by Dr. Cameron. They had no memory of their childhood at all. And this certainly was the case of Madame Huard and the case of Gail Kastner.
One of the objectives, and that was this was found on documents later on, was in a list of aims regarding the MK Ultra experiment. And one of the aims was to lower the ambition and general working efficiency of men when administered in undetectable amounts. Can you just give us an idea of Ms. Huard's state as it is now, or as it has been over, say, the past? Since the experiment and over the past 30 years, is she able to work in a normal environment? Is she able to communicate with people normally?
Well, now, Madame Huard, as you know, is, I believe, 78 or 79 years old. So she's not in a position to work. But after she was treated by Dr. Cameron in the 60s, she came back to live at home with her husband and children, and she was unable to look after her children. She had to call upon her mother to come and live with her, and this lasted for a period of 10 years where she could not cope with life, could not cope with bringing up a family or being a mother or wife, a mother to her children and a wife to her husband. So it certainly, so she certainly sustained severe and irreparable damage during that period as a result of the treatments of Dr. Cameron inflicted upon her. After that, she slowly recovered, but I don't believe that she ever recovered her full memory of her childhood and so on. It left certainly a permanent loss of memory of her childhood, or a good part of her childhood, the treatments that she received from Dr. Cameron.
Now, do you believe the settlement is going to be fair and just?
No, I don't believe $100,000 is fair and just, but that's what the government provided for, and we don't have any other alternative. It's too late to sue the Royal Victoria Hospital or McGill University Learning Center, McGill University Health and Learning Center, of which the Royal Victoria Hospital now forms part thereof, because the court would take the same position that it took in the case of Gail Kastner. Her action is clearly prescribed. So she'll have to be satisfied with the $100,000.
Have you had other people come to you and want to take action against the government as well?
Yes, I've had many, many telephone calls, communication, emails, correspondence from many other former patients of Dr. Cameron or their families, either their spouses or their children and so on. Unfortunately, many of the former patients of Dr. Cameron who were treated by him between 1950 and 65 and who applied for the compensation of $100,000 have now passed away. And this will become an issue with us when we settle with the government whether or not they should compensate the families of the former patients. The government has taken the position that at the time that they provided for the compensation, that it did not include patients who were deceased. So I don't know if the government would agree to extend the compensation to the families of the former patients who applied at the time in the 90s, but who have since passed away. But there are other patients who have communicated with me, are their families, and they certainly will benefit from any settlement that I'm able to conclude with the government.
Now, when is the next date where you're going to find out whether this is going to go through?
Well, we're in the process of negotiating with the government. I don't know when it will be finalized. It's hard to say. You know, when you're dealing with the government, everything goes very slowly. And meanwhile, the government is proceeding with its appeal. It will be filing its joint record, and I anticipate that the case probably will be heard. By the end of this year. But hopefully, we'll be able to conclude a settlement before the appeal is heard. Even if we still have to proceed on the appeal.
Okay, I've been speaking with Alan Stein. He's from the law firm of Stein & Stein in Montreal. I thank you for joining me this morning, and I hope that you will hear back from the government very soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a nice day.